Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. The word. You and I have every reason to be skeptical of promises. We are hearing so many promises from every direction in these last weeks and days before what everybody considers to be a very big election. Frankly, so many of the promises that we're hearing are all too familiar. We've heard them before and equally sound so simply too good to be true. Every single candidate for every single office making such promises to us is just as broken and frail a human being as any of the rest of us. Yet they say with such conviction that if we elect them to the office they are seeking, they will do things that many others have promised to do before them, but they have all failed. Never succeeded in doing so many of them. Every human promise really should be prefaced by stating that it is something that I intend to do, maybe, if at all possible, but so many variables prove challenging. Now, those sound like weasel words, don't they? And if any candidate actually talked to us that way, we'd start to wonder about how serious they really were about the things they were saying. We all like plans. We all make plans. Some of us like making plans. We all support the plans of others that we approve of, but no one can guarantee anything just by promising it. But there clearly is one exceptional variant to this conversation. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all their faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. No matter what era of history you may live in, the promises our Savior God makes to us in these verses, makes truly to every human being, simply sound too very, very good to possibly be true, to ever come true. And don't they sound an awful lot like the promises typical politicians make? Food for everyone in abundance, awesome and nourishing food and drink that will be free, never ending, plentiful for everyone. He even says here, there will be no more memories of any disgrace of our lives, nor any opportunity to create new moments of disgrace for ourselves that might humble us. You and I are going to be lifted up from the muck and the mire of our very real daily lives. The struggle, the pain, the challenge, the loss. To a whole new existence beyond our imagining. And tears won't even be a memory there any longer. Hearing all of that,
Who among us, who of anyone in the human race hearing these words of our God to us would not by respond by saying, absolutely, give me some of that. Give me all of that I could possibly tolerate and as soon as possible.
Every heart longs for the best of everything because that's what we were created for. In a perfect universe, before a fall into sin. But at the core of every soul, in the realities of sinful world that we now must experience, there is a knowledge that such a reality once existed. And getting back to it as a daily perpetual reality should be our collective goal. The problem is, we believe it's our goal and our job, and we as human beings start to promise each other how hard we're going to work at making that happen here and now in this broken world, which is never going to be a reality. That's where God takes a divine quantum leap in his promising, where no human being and certainly no human politician can ever go. He connects sin and death directly to our brokenness in these verses, and then also presents his exclusive ability to end sin and death as the answer we are all seeking to knowing only the best of everything for all eternity. What's so very different for you and me reading and hearing these verses today rather than those who first heard these verses spoken hundreds of years before the birth of Christ by the prophet? Those who first read or heard them didn't know what we know happened on that mountain. We look back on it from a perspective of 1,000 years, 2,000 years, on the other side of the fulfillment of all of these promises. We know the amazing details of exactly how the God who speaks these words, the God who is the creator of the universe, destroyed the shroud of sin and lifted the veil of death. We know how he did this by dying himself, offering himself into death on that mountain, the holy and innocent, obedient to every law of God and humanity. Heaven and earth, he gave himself body and mind and soul into the experience of human death as the substitute for every human being that actually deserves to die. You and me and everyone else. These verses again remind us how that includes every single human being everywhere and for all of time. And then in the past tense, it says, he swallowed up death forever by reclaiming his life again. The one element of God's successful plan to remove all disgrace and wipe away every tear was his emergence from the grave on the third day after his death, after he gave up his life willingly. Death and grave could not, would not, hold him. And God promised exactly that right here through his prophet a little more than 7 centuries before he fulfilled that promise in full. And yes, as we hear them clearly, God's promises to us are too good to seem to be possibly true. However, that most essential and important promise ever spoken, ever written, for any human audience to hear has already been kept. You and I have the privilege and the pleasure of living in a New Testament era, waiting for the day Jesus returns to complete all of God's promises to us. But the promise that is most central to our heart's desires for freedom from sin and a path to heaven, do not allow yourself any doubt that the God who made the promises then kept those promises in full. We live the rest of our journey through life knowing that heaven awaits us, that in his last hours on this earth, Jesus promised that he is going ahead of us to prepare a place there for each of us, knowing that only the very best is always ahead of us because we are believers, knowing that nothing we have ever done or will ever do pays for any of that or anything we do not do will ever jeopardize God's gracious promise apart from simply refusing to believe it. He's done it all. He's made every promise. He's fulfilled every promise. He's presented every promise to us through his word and his sacraments so that his Holy Spirit might use them to convict us and convince us of our own sin and God's perfection, of our own failures and God's final answer to them, his offer of righteousness and peace, of his making, that he declares for us through those episodes, such as Jesus declaring it finished from the cross itself, Jesus telling us every word is written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing may have life in his name. And so, today is that day each year when the believer still struggling with the daily realities on this side of heaven acknowledge those who now experience the promises of God in full. They know the promise is true. They know how God has fulfilled every single one of them, not just his saving plan and all of the details of those promises, but the promise to create a place individually and uniquely suited and fulfilling to every one of his believers for them to live in righteousness and peace in the presence of God forever. They were examples for us of the faith and the foresight and the perspective as they live the challenges of their lives in faith and finish the race in God's grace. May they be continuing examples and mentors on our mission to know that no matter what we face, no matter how challenging, how painful, how broken, how demoralizing any day may be, when that day ends, we understand that we've got one more day behind us. One more day of brokenness and pain down, one day closer to all that God promises you and me in the eternal life he has won for us and prepared for us on the at his side. No matter how bad things may get here on this side of eternity, there is joy, there is perspective, there is consolation in the words and promises of our God, always available to you and to me in the simple fact that the very best of everything is still ahead for believers convinced by the miracles of God, the miracle of faith itself, worked by the Holy Spirit, to trust that some promises are actually too good, but are actually also true. Amen.